The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
First, Peter Power, Executive Director of UNICEF Ireland, joins me in studio. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
In my introduction, I suggested there that we have taken our eye off what's going on in Gaza because the focus now with the IDF in Lebanon is on that country, and yet the suffering goes on.
Oh, yes. I mean, they're both parts, really, of the same wider conflict. And this has been the real concern since the very outset, that the brutal attack on Israeli women and children and families in southern Israel and the subsequent then war in Gaza, that would develop into a wider conflagration in Lebanon with the Houthis and now potentially Iran. So it's part of a wider conflict. It's desperately concerning, but we cannot walk away from the fact that over 43,000 people have lost their lives, including Israelis and Palestinian women and children.
How long has UNICEF been in Gaza?
For four decades now, we have been under a UN mandate. We have been there providing humanitarian support to try and develop the area with the Palestinian Authority, as it then was, in Gaza, to try and build up education, providing vaccinations, healthcare, child protection and so forth. But now that mission, unfortunately and very regrettably, has had to morph into a massive emergency humanitarian response.
Now, the title UNICEF is United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. Those letters give you the word UNICEF. Mm-hmm. The mandate was kind of changed in the 50s to leave out the emergency bit, and it became the children's funding, but rather than emergency fund. But you're back into emergency mode now.
Correct. Unfortunately, as you report week in, week out, Pat, on your programme, the world has become a very unstable place. The rules-based international order formed after the Second World War, when UNICEF was formed, where people subscribe to international law, international humanitarian law, a rules-based system. That is, let's be clear, very much under attack now. And the world has become a lot less stable than it was just 10 years ago. That has led to conflict, violence, instability around the world. And that is required because we have a global mandate to operate in every country, and we have programs in over 100 countries, that when an emergency happens, we have an obligation under our mandate to respond, no matter where that emergency occurs.
So your normal work in Gaza before this current round of hostilities, and there have been many over the years, would be, say, vaccination of children, trying to make sure that kids have nutrition, going to school and all of that. Now, you take issue with something that the Israeli ambassador said to us on the anniversary of the 7th of October on the programme on Monday.
Yes, I listened to the ambassador on Monday, Pat, and she, in answer to your question at the very outset, she said that UNICEF had failed to, quote, publicly and firmly call out the attack on Israel on the 7th of October. And I just thank you for the opportunity just to correct the record in that regard. I have here, and you can see them, Pat, statements from UNICEF from the 7th of October, the 9th of October, the 13th of October and the 24th of October. And just very briefly to quote from them, on the very day of the attack in New York, our global executive director said, "I am deeply concerned that there have been grave violations committed against children." That's just on the very day when it wasn't very clear. But just 2 days later, UNICEF in New York at the United Nations said very clearly, "Nothing justifies the killing, maiming and abduction of children. These constitute grave violations, which UNICEF wholeheartedly condemns." On the 13th of October, James Elder, our global spokesperson, who you've interviewed on numerous occasions, Pat, in Geneva, said, "Israeli children are being held hostage in Gaza, must be safely and immediately reunited with their families and loved ones." And finally, just 2 weeks later, the fourth statement said, "The killing, maiming and abduction of children constitute grave violations of children's rights, and UNICEF urgently appeals for the release of all hostages." So it's the language I think you'll agree, Pat, is extremely clear. It's unequivocal. It's unambiguous. I myself was in Amman in Jordan just after the attacks, did a number of interviews, wholeheartedly, unequivocally condemning the attacks. And for the record, let me just state today, in the week that's in it, the week upon this terrible, barbaric attack on 1,200 innocent people, that UNICEF wholeheartedly condemns that. But our mandate, as I said at the outset, our mandate extends right across the world. So when other violations against children, when other breaches of international law, which have happened in Gaza, we will also call that out, and we will do so without fear or favour, as we have done over the past 12 months.
Are you concerned that Israel, and it has demonstrated this in the accusations they levelled against the UNHCR, and also now we hear that they have attacked UNIFIL troops, Irish troops among them, that they don't have any respect for the institutions of the United Nations, that for some reason, although they quote resolutions that support their position in Lebanon, for example, that they really don't have any respect for the UN?
Well, I can't,
and all its constituent organisations.
Well, I can't comment. I don't know what the intention or the mindset is, but we can call out the facts as they appear to us, as they are clear on the ground, is that Israel has signed up, the entire world has signed up to the UN Charter. Everybody's a member of the UN, and also have signed up to international law and international humanitarian law. And there have been, and this is universally accepted, there have been breaches of international humanitarian law under the eyes of United Nations agencies, including UNRWA, UNICEF, WHO, and others.
People in UNRWA have died, but then they in turn labelled accusations that some members of UNRWA were possibly in cahoots with Hamas.
And as you will know, Pat, sometimes the first casualty in any war is the truth, but there are facts which are unequivocal, and that is that there has been disproportionate responses. But from a humanitarian aspect, which is what UNICEF is concerned in, it is a breach of international law to restrict international aid to people in need, and that is happening in Gaza today, and we have called that out consistently. We have brought in huge amounts of aid, including just last month, with the assistance, it should be said, of the Israeli authorities, of 1.6 million polio vaccines to combat a very worrying polio outbreak. But by and large, the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza has been restricted. So people are just simply not getting enough food, enough humanitarian assistance that they need. And that is in breach of international law. Mm.
The situation as you have it reported to you by your people in Gaza, how bad is it at the moment?
It's desperate. It's truly desperate. I have spoken to people, including, as I mentioned, James Elder, who you've interviewed. These are people who've seen it all across the world, and they say Gaza is an absolute hell on earth to be a child, to be anybody. Huge swathes of the country have been absolutely levelled. People are under evacuation orders, so they're moving 10, 11, 12 times, direct testimony. Each time they move.
On television yesterday, I saw one man saying, "I'm not going. I've moved too many times and I'm not safe anywhere. I'm going to die here." Rather than shift again.
Correct. We hear these stories, but they still need access to water. They still need access to basic hygiene, to food, to blankets. We're coming into winter. Children need warm clothing to confront the harshness of winter when all they have over their head is a tarpaulin. So all this aid needs to be brought in much greater quantities. It's not just UNICEF saying this. It's every humanitarian organization in Gaza is saying exactly the same thing.
You know, the Israelis would offer, and I don't speak on their behalf, but I know the theory is that Netanyahu's objectives are get rid of Hamas in Gaza, get rid of Hezbollah in Lebanon, and everyone will live in peace thereafter. And therefore, organizations like yours will be able to prosper and carry on doing the vital work you do.
Well, again, Pat, I can't commentate on the mindset or the motivation behind, you know, particular military actions. But what I can say is that the result that those actions, whichever party prosecutes a military conflict, has to abide by the rules of war and international humanitarian law. I know I'm repeating myself here again, but whichever party prosecutes a war still has to allow in humanitarian aid to assist to citizens at the scale that is is required for a catastrophe of this magnitude.
You're, as always, raising funds, I suppose. What is your latest programme for Gaza? Have you particular objectives for your funding?
Yes, winterization, what we call winterization, that is providing blankets, mattresses and warm clothing for people, as I said, because they don't have a huge amount of the buildings. The latest estimate is up to 50% of all buildings are now gone. So people are living out in the open under tarpaulin, so they need protection against the elements. But obviously now in Lebanon, where Ireland obviously has a huge interest in, Eddie Higgins, again, somebody who you have interviewed, Eddie Higgins has said that that situation is catastrophic. She, in her 20 years with UNICEF, she has never seen such a mass migration of people. Mm. And many people are now living again out in the open because they fear for their lives in southern Lebanon and the southern districts of Beirut. And I was there down in Tyre just a few months ago, and I could feel the tension in the air. And people were already moving out of southern Lebanon, even at that stage, in anticipation of this new front in the war. So that 1.2 million people now need humanitarian assistance. And we have pre-positioned a lot of humanitarian aid in anticipation of this very moment. But that obviously needs to be replenished now. And we are certainly providing funding for that.
And we know that people who are trying to get out of Lebanon are finding it difficult, and I presume it's equally difficult to get stuff in.
Well, interestingly, the airport is still open and operating now. It's just the Middle East Airlines, that's the Lebanese national flag carrier. We have airlifted humanitarian assistance into Lebanon. We've brought humanitarian aid through the port, but it is hard in a conflict. It's hard to get aid in, but we are getting aid in. It's just the needs are absolutely massive now.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for joining us. I know people who want to help can go onto the UNICEF website and make an appropriate donation. Peter Power, Executive Director of UNICEF Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.